Love you, brother. Appreciate you. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you. I think Kevin just left. He's like, I'm done. He's out the back door. So, hey, we're just so thankful to be here, and you've been so kind to us, and we've just seen the love of Christ through you over this last these last several weeks. I mean, there's been a group of guys from Brother Floyd's Sunday school class, led by Jimmy Dudley, and a group of them came to the house and helped us do some stuff, and it's just been awesome. Everyone's been reaching out and just sharing your love, and we're just so thankful for that. And so we're all the kids, Chelsea, we're just pumped to be here with you. Also have my favorite niece with me. She learned today she's my favorite niece, McKenna. You know why she's my favorite niece? You know, she's the only one here today. That's exactly right. And so, and Landon, good to have you too. And so I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 10. As you're turning there, I hope you'll be back tonight for the trunk or treat. We're going to have an awesome opportunity to show our community how much we love them. And also, I got a lot of things on my mind, so I'm not going to get them all out today, but I noticed this, the group of young people down here on the front row, nothing fires me up more than that. So guys and girls, keep that up. I love seeing you all here and up front and leading the way. But Luke chapter 10, we're going to study a very important story that Jesus told, a parable. It's a very familiar story to you. And this story really came to life for me several years ago. It was probably about 7 or 8 years ago, and I had actually one of my nephews had come to visit me at my house, and he wanted to go fishing. At the time, I had a bass boat. I no longer have it, but had a bass boat. And Lake Chickamauga is a great fishing lake for largemouth bass, and so I was like, we're going to go fishing. So we got ready, and we went out on Lake Chickamauga. We were fishing all day, just having a great time. Now, this was a small bass boat, but it had a big motor on it, and so you could fly in that thing. And so I'm kind of showing out to my nephew, going up and down the lake, and then we got in a nice little fishing hole, and I was so excited because he landed a 5-pound bass, and I was just like, and that's not a fishing story, okay? Next time I tell it, it might be 7 pounds. But it was he caught a nice one. And, man, we were pumped. I was like, all right, I think we need to move out of this place and go to another place. And we're heading out of a little slough and heading back to the main channel of the Tennessee River when all of a sudden things stopped working. I was like, we've run out of gas. That boat, the gas gauge was broken on it. And I just figured we had plenty of gas. And there we are in the middle of the Tennessee River, out of gas with a kind of a not so nice trolling motor, and I'm just slowly making my way to the other side, because I know on the other side it's kind of our side of the river, and maybe we'll figure something out. We get close to the side over there, and I kind of know generally where we are, but I don't know like what these neighborhoods are and stuff. And of course these are like mansions, and I'm like, one of us, we're going to have to go on somebody's land property and walk up to the door and say, hey, where are we? I've already called Chelsea and said, honey, you better get a gas can. I don't know where we're at. You're going to have to come save us. She's like, you've done it again, Brady. And about that time, these two guys in a really nice bass boat trolled over to where I was at and said, hey, are you having a problem? I said, well, yes, we are. We're out of gas. And he said, well, is there anything we can do to help? I said, well, yeah, a few miles up that way, that there's a place on the lake where you could get some gas. I said, but I don't have a gas can. I don't have anything with me, nothing. And they said, well, all right, well, yeah, we'll help you with that. So these guys, they went to this place several miles away. They went in, bought a gas can at this convenience store on the lake, filled it up with gas, brought it all the way back to us, filled up the boat, And then we got to talking, and next thing I knew, I found out they were all the way from Kentucky, probably 4 or 5 hours away. These two guys had just taken the day off, and these two young guys were like, we're just going to go down to Lake Chickamauga and fish. And they had come to have fun, to fish. They had come a long way. They were going back later that night. And when they told me all of that, and then they left after they had helped us, I was blown away. I mean, I really was. I thought to myself, that is exactly the story of the Good Samaritan. I mean, these guys, they could have easily just said, you know what, we came all this way, and this is about us today, and I'm not worried about what's going on with those people. But they came over to us, and they said, hey, can we help you out? And they did above and beyond what I would have thought somebody would have done. And I don't know, I mean, even if I were in their position, I'm not sure what I would have done that day. You know, I might have been focused on what I was there to do. And I've come all this way, and I'm going to fish, and I'm going to have fun, and, you know, maybe somebody else can help them. But they didn't do that. And they were some real guys that taught me what it looked like to help others in need. And that's the story that Jesus, the parable that Jesus gives us in Luke chapter 10. This is one of the most popular parables that Jesus taught. The parable of the Good Samaritan. And I want to look at it and I want to study it with you today, starting in verse 25. And so look at God's word with me. It says, then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He asked him. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, he told him. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask that you would honor the reading of your word today, and that you would help us to understand what kind of neighbor you are calling us to be. Help us today, God, to know that you've called us to love others, to not just say we love others, but to physically and actually do everything we can to show other people the love of Jesus. We love you today, God, and we know it's from the outflow of our love for you that we're able to live the life that you've called us to live. God bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first portion of this, before we actually get to the story Jesus tells, is we get a little bit of the background of what's going on here. There's a lawyer, it says, an expert in the law, and he came to Jesus, and he came trying to test Jesus. Many of the lawyers were doing that during Jesus' ministry because they really didn't like Jesus because he was a threat to the things that they wanted to have happen and the things they wanted to be done. And so he comes and he asked Jesus a question, but you need to understand that this is really an insincere question that he asked Jesus. Jesus, you need to know this today, he's not afraid of any question you would like to ask him. There is not a single question that you have that Jesus would say, well, that's something I can't answer. That's something I can't deal with. No, Jesus invites and he desires all of your questions. There's nothing you can bring to God that he is not happy and pleased to lead you in and to show you the truth in. But this lawyer comes with an insincere question. He's testing Jesus. He's really trying to trap Jesus and test Jesus. So he says, Jesus, let me ask you something. How can I inherit eternal life? Jesus, knowing the heart of this man, just like Jesus knows the heart of every person, and because he knows he's being tested by this man, Jesus turns the question right back around to that lawyer. And he says, well, what does the law say? You're the expert in the law. You know what the Bible says. So you tell me how to inherit eternal life. And so the lawyer goes on and he answers this question for Jesus. And he answers the question correctly, Jesus says. The lawyer quotes two Old Testament passages of Scripture. Deuteronomy
chapter 6, verse 5, which says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with your strength. And so he quotes that passage from Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God. And then he goes and he quotes another text, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, which says, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so he says, here's the answer, Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all of your being and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yes, that's exactly right. That's what you're supposed to do. So do this and you will live. But the lawyer wasn't satisfied there. Why? Well, because number one, he came to test Jesus. And number two, when he came to test Jesus, he asked an insincere question. And then after he answered and said, love your neighbor as yourself, he wanted to, it says, justify himself. And wanting to justify himself, what did he say? He said, who then is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Now, there's two things happening here. The first thing that's happening here is the lawyer, he knew the law. He was an expert in the law. Okay, he was a church-going guy who knew the law. He knew the Bible. He could quote scripture, and he could answer the question correctly. He knew the law, but there's something he didn't know. He didn't know love. He didn't know love. The lawyer knew the law, but he did not know love. And so what's the lawyer doing? He's saying, Jesus, who's my neighbor? So what's the limit to the love I'm supposed to show other people? Jesus, give me a limit. Jesus, give me a quota. Jesus, give me a minimum for me to live under. Who is my neighbor? Is it only a certain type of person? Do they have to live in a certain place? Do they have to look a certain way? Do they have to have a certain amount of income? You know, who is my neighbor, Jesus? Jesus, how many neighbors do I have to love to inherit eternal life? Is it just one neighbor? Is it two neighbors? Is it 20? Is it 100? Jesus, tell me exactly. Give me a limit on this thing, because I just want to do the bare minimum. In fact, here's the deal. The truth about this lawyer is, what I believe, is that the lawyer just really didn't want to love anybody. He knew the law, but he didn't know love. He didn't want to love people. Now, Jesus speaks on this in Mark chapter 12. And in Mark chapter 12, listen to what Jesus says. He's asked again by someone, which command is the most important of all? And in verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Jesus makes it clear that this is the most important command. Love the Lord your God. And when it tells you love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, what that means is we are called to love God with all of our being. Everything that we are, everything that we have, all of who we are to be totally devoted and surrendered to the Lord God Almighty. We're to love him with everything that we have. And then, after we love God with all of our being, comes the next thing. Then we love our neighbor as ourselves. Here's what you need to understand today about loving others. We can only love others the way God has called us to love others if we love God first. It's from the outflow of our relationship with Jesus, the outflow of the love we have with God, that we can properly love other people like God is calling us to love them. I'll prove it to you. In 1 John chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, here's what the Word of God says. If anyone says, I love God, and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister. God is saying here, if you do not love other people, then that's an evidence in your life that you've got a problem with your relationship with God Almighty. You see, it's your love to God. We love God because he's first loved us. He's given us his love in our heart. And it's from the love we have from God and the love we have for God and the love we have with God that from that we love other people. And we're able to love our neighbors as Jesus has called us to. If you truly love God today, here's what I'm trying to tell you. If you truly love God today, if you love Jesus, you're going to love other people. If you truly love Jesus, you're going to love the things that Jesus loves. I love the things that my kids love. You know why? I love my kids. I love the things that my wife loves. Why? Because I love my wife. And the things that Jesus loves, we should also love because we love Jesus. And friend, you know this today. You know this. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know today that Jesus loves people. And what people does Jesus love? He loves all people. That's who he loves. In fact, we know that Jesus came to this earth to die for the sins of every single person. Jesus loves the world, and he's called us as believers to love people all around us. That's who our neighbor is, by the way. Our neighbor is anyone in this world that we know, that we come in contact with, other people. That's who our neighbor is. So he's called us to love people. And he's going to show us in this parable that all people should be loved by us, even those that are broken, even those that are hurting, even those who are in need, those that are suffering, those who are lost. Those people we should especially love. Look what Jesus says now in this parable. Luke 10. Verse 30, the lawyer says, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead." Jesus says, there's this man coming from Jerusalem. Jerusalem's 2,500 feet above sea level. And he's going down this road. We'll call it the Jericho Road. He's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jericho's about 800 feet below sea level. And so no matter where you come from, if you're going to Jerusalem, you're always going up. And if you're leaving Jerusalem, you're always going down. And so this man is making this journey down the Jericho Road from Jerusalem to Jericho. But Jericho, that road, that Jericho Road was a notoriously dangerous road. It was a road that went down. It was a road that went through ravines, down the mountain. There were rocks. There was just wilderness that robbers and murderers would hide in these places in order to ambush people that were making a journey down the Jericho Road. And so Jesus says this man was going down the Jericho Road, and as he was going down that road, he was met by some thieves. And what did they do to him? Well, they took all the things he had. They stripped him naked. They beat him. They spit upon him. They hurt him. They left him on the side of the road, and he is half dead. And half dead is on the way to full dead. This man is needing some help. He is hurt. He is left hurting. He's left helpless. He is suffering. He's dealing with a lot of brokenness right here in this moment. And do I have to tell you today? I mean, really, do I have to tell you that there are half-dead people in Floyd County right now today. There are people today that have gone down the Jericho Road and they have been broken. They are suffering. They are hurting. And they are just needing someone to come to them with the help and the hope of Jesus Christ. And so here this man is, and Jesus says, but this man, people are going to come to this hurt man. And look at it. It says right here in verse 31, the first man that comes up to this guy is a priest. It says a priest happened to be going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. The priest is just doing his thing. He just happened to come by. Maybe he had just finished his priestly duties in Jerusalem in the temple, because the priests would have been in charge of the rituals there, doing the sacrifices, different things in the temple. And so he's on his way. Maybe he's on his way home. So he happens to be going by that way. And what's it say the priest does? I mean, if this is not devastating, I don't know what is. But it says the priest saw him, and intentionally said, I don't want to get close to him. I don't want to touch him. I don't want to get dirty. I don't have time for this. I've got other things that I need to be doing. There might be all kinds of reasons why. We don't know. But for some reason, the priest said, no, I'm intentionally going to avoid him. And it says that he literally passed by on the other side. So if I could just give you a picture of this, it'd be like the man is here and he says, I'm going this way. I don't want anything to do with him. I'm getting as far away from him as I can. And that this priest is the religious man. This is the man people should have been looking up to. This is the man, if anyone should have done what is right, it should have been the priest. But what did he do? He let him down. He passed by on the other side. He said, I don't want anything to do with that. And then Jesus says, and then another man came, a Levite. When he arrived at the place and saw him, he did exactly what the priest did. He saw him and he passed by on the other side. Now, do you know who these two people are? They're the religious people. They do the sacrifices. They know the laws. They work in the temple. The Levite helps the priest out. And to bring it to our level today, here's who the priest and Levite are. They're the church people. That's who they are. That's who they are. They're the people that every time the doors are open, they're in the church. They're the people that you would expect to love others because they love God. But both of them see the hurt. Jesus makes it clear. It's not that they didn't see him. They saw him. And they intentionally avoided him and walked around them. Walked around them. This is a half-dead person. The priest walks around him. The Levite walk around him. The church people are walking around them. And then Jesus says, but a Samaritan. Now that in and of itself is a scandal in this story. Because this Jewish lawyer hated Samaritans and Samaritans hated Jews. That's just how it has been. They were rivals. They didn't like one another. Jews and Samaritans had no love for the other. And Jesus says, you know, this great priest and this great Levite refused to meet this man in his need. They walked around him, but a Samaritan came by. And it says here, this Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him. Do you see the difference in these people? The Samaritan, he saw him. And when he saw him, something happened in his heart. Something happens in the heart of a follower of Jesus, it should, when we see someone in need. When we see someone needing help, when we see someone lost and dying and who we're going to spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell, if you love Jesus, something should happen in your heart when you see someone like that, and it should be compassion. It should cause you on the inside to hurt. It should bring tears to your eyes to know that someone needs help. Now, the priest and Levite said, someone else can handle that. But God's not called us to be a people that says, let's let somebody else handle it. He's called us to be the ones to step in and help people in need and give them the love of Jesus. It says he saw him, he had compassion on him, and the Samaritan did not walk around him. It says the Samaritan, he came up to him. He came right up to him. It says he went and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you have. You see, the Samaritan did not walk around him, and I'm going to give you a little clue here on something you need to understand about the Bible and something you need to understand about the parables that Jesus told. In this story, there is a hero. And you know that it's the Good Samaritan. But do you know who actually the Good Samaritan, who actually the hero in this story is? It's Jesus Christ. And from Genesis all the way through Revelation, you have the same hero, and it's Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, look at me, friend. Jesus Christ is the one who saw you and me dead, lying in the road. And he left the glory of heaven, and he came to this earth. And you know what he did? He came to us. He did not walk around us. And you can mark this down today, friend. Jesus will never walk around you. Some of you are going through something right now that's troubling. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus sees you where you're at. He sees your pain. He has compassion for you. He loves you. And he will meet you right there in your place today. Jesus will never walk around you. I might walk around you. I hope I never do. But I'm going to fail you. I will fail you. Your Sunday school teacher may walk around you. They may fail you. Your other ministers may fail you. The church might fail you. Your friends might fail you. Your family may walk around you in your time of greatest need, but Jesus never will. He will always come to your rescue. He will always be there with you and for you. And Jesus, he comes and he helps us. This Samaritan, look what he did. It cost this Samaritan so much. And you need to understand today that it cost us to love people the way Jesus has called us to love them. It cost us. It's not easy. He bandaged his wounds. I don't believe he was traveling with a first aid kit. I'm thinking he probably took his cloak off or something. He took a garment off. He took clothes off his own back and said, let me bandage you up. He took his own olive oil and wine. He took those medications that could soothe him and cleanse him. And he poured those things on him that he had packed for that journey. He said, I may have packed this for my journey, but I'm going to use it for this man because he needs it. And I want to show him the love of Jesus. He then took the man and put him on his own animal. Now, this is a half-dead, bloody man. Some of you have a nice F-150, brand spanking new. And you take it to the car wash 3 times a week. And people know better than to bring any crumbs into that truck. This man had his animal. He had his vehicle. And he said, this is not my vehicle. This is God's vehicle. This isn't my wine and oil. This is God's wine and oil. These aren't my bandages. These aren't my clothes. These are God's clothes. He's given them to me. And I'm going to take this bloody man, and I'm going to put him in my vehicle, and I'm going to get him to the destination. I don't care if it gets dirty. Friend, everything we have, God has given to us that we would use it to bring Him honor and glory and to reach people for Jesus. It costs you to love others. And friend, don't you know it costs Jesus everything to love you? It cost Him everything. It cost God everything to love you and me. He left heaven. He left His glory in heaven. He came to this earth and became a man, fully God, fully man. He went through suffering and persecution and humiliation. He was spat upon. He was whipped with whips. He was bloodied. He was beaten. They took a crown of thorns and they mocked Him and they shoved Him on His brow. They took Jesus and they nailed Him to a cross. All of this, not because of any wrong He had done. He was sinless, but He took our sins upon Himself and He died on the cross for your sin. He died on the cross for my sin. He heard the Father say, "You're forsaken." As He turned His back upon His Son. It cost Jesus everything. And then as we sang about this morning, we know Jesus rose from the dead on the third day and He is alive forevermore. What Jesus has called us to today, He's called us to take up our cross and follow Him. He's called you and me to love God first and foremost. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then, from the love we have for God, it should be evident that we love others the way Jesus loves us. Friend, Jesus sees you today. He sees you. He knows exactly what you're going through. And Jesus came and died on the cross for you. And He's offering to you the free gift of salvation. You may have come into this place today half dead, wondering, is there any hope? Wondering if anyone will actually love you. Does anyone actually care for me? Can anything actually change in my life? Jesus came to this earth and He came here for you. He has not walked around you and He's offering to you the free gift of salvation. The lawyer said, "Look, Jesus, what can I do to justify myself?" And here's the answer to that, just plain and simple. You can do nothing to justify yourself. But Jesus can justify you by His blood. Here's what that means. In order to be saved, you have to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And when you come to Jesus by grace through faith, you repent of your sin and you say, "Jesus, take away my sin. Jesus, save me. Jesus, cover me with your blood." He will save you right now, today. And then God will declare you righteous before Him. Not based on what you've done, not based on how many people you've loved, but solely on this truth that you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You've come to Him with whatever you've got. And friend, you might not have a lot. In fact, that may be exactly where Jesus wants you, in a place where you just feel like, "I don't have a whole lot for me to give to God." He says, "Just give me your life, whatever it is. It can be broken, it can be shattered, it can be bloody, you can be half dead today, but if you will bring Jesus your life, He will take you, He will save you today, and God will declare you righteous before Him based upon the blood of Jesus." Friend, if you need Jesus today, we're going to sing. If I could get my people up here ready to sing, we're going to sing and we're going to have a time of invitation. and I'm going to stand down front. Brother Richard's going to be standing down front with me. And if you have a decision for Jesus today, you need to make. And you say, I need to give my life to Jesus. You come tell one of us. Maybe you saw someone baptized today in this baptistry, and you said, you know what? I'm unashamed of Jesus. I've never been baptized. I've been afraid. I've been fearful, whatever the case may be. And you say, today, I want to come talk to someone about taking that step of believer's baptism. I'm going all in. You come down. You say, today, I want to make the decision to be baptized one day in the future. Maybe you've been coming to this church for a while, just wondering, should I join this church? Hey, I'm telling you, we're not going to be a perfect church. There's only one person that's perfect, and that's God. That's Jesus Christ. But we're going to do everything we can to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love others as He's called us to. You can come forward today and say, Pastor, I want to be a part of the fellowship of this church. Let's stand together. Let's bow our heads, and let's get ready to respond to God. Father, we love You today. We thank You, Jesus, that You did not walk around us, but You came to us in our need. And You met us and You saved us. Lord, someone here today needs that salvation. Give them the boldness, Holy Spirit, to leave where they're standing and to come down front and to say, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Lord, others may have decisions to make. Holy Spirit, help them do that. You're in control, God. We trust You, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't wait. Come now as we sing. Come now.